Ebenezer family and friends. It's just good to be back again, connected to this virtual platform, and just thanking the Lord for his tremendous grace and mercy in all of our lives. I just want to thank you so much for just all you do, your prayers. We're going to talk about intercessory prayer today, and also the struggles that we all have as we've been in this series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. You can see the background. Have you ever felt like that person, just pain? This is an abstract picture of just someone in pain. And I want you to know that God can use your pain. And I pray that that'll encourage you, those who are going through today. Just some announcements. The Lord has just been doing so many wonderful things at EBC. And we just thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got our Bible studies Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Also, we have something special that's coming up this week on Thursday, April the 14th at 7 p.m. We're going to be celebrating this Lent season with Maundy Thursday. The Reverend Dr. Howard will be coming from Camp Groves. He's connected with Ebenezer, one of our own, and he will be speaking into our lives. We'll also be live streaming this service. So this service will be live streamed, and it'll also be in person. With us being connected with all the churches, some of them haven't actually opened back up. So we're going to be live streaming and in person on this Thursday at 7 p.m. Please just keep us in prayer on that day. And if you can come out, we'd be glad to have you there. But it will be live streamed. Speaking of that, this is a kickoff to just some things that the Lord is doing at Ebenezer. The next Thursday, which will be April the 21st at 6 p.m., we'll start a in-person Bible study. We'll call it TBS, Thursday Bible Study, where we'll be going through the book of Luke. And just in person, being able to ask questions and connect with one another, still running our virtual services on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but giving another option on that Thursday at 6 p.m. We'll have our TBS, our Thursday Bible study, in-person Bible study. So many exciting things. And I just ask you to please, please continue to pray for Ebenezer as we go for this, striving to hear the voice of the Lord, that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. And we're building this ark one soul at a time. Thank you for your giving. Thank you, however that manifests itself. Maybe it's monetary, whether you're using our app, whether you're sending into our secure mailbox, whether you're in our in-person services, we thank you so much. But realize giving goes past just monetary gifts. It goes to texting people, embracing people, loving on, keeping up with people, encouraging them. And God has allowed us to do so many things together as the body of Christ. So I just encourage you, and I thank you for all that you do. Well, I am just thinking about today's lesson that we're going to get into. And again, we're going to talk about how God can use pain as we're in this series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. See you soon.
Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 through 23. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesy. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Mm-hmm. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word this morning.
Amen. Just a closer walk with thee, my Lord. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close with thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thou art strong, Jesus, keep me from my wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close with thee. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who will be my better shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. A closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. My feeble life is all. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on to the kingdom shore, to the shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
The Lord has been so, so, so good to us all. And I just, it's my prayer that we really understand his tremendous grace and mercy that he's bestowing on us every day. As we're back in the series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, I believe that you've been blessed as we have been growing close together. And just thinking about the privilege God has given us just to know him, just to be able to love him and to come into his presence. Today's focus scripture, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and around that 10th verse. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and around that 10th verse. And we're going to be dealing with how God deals with pain in our lives, how he can use that for his glory. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made and that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I first pray for those who don't know you. Lord, I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you You're the teacher, so would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just praise you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at that 1 Samuel chapter 1 and that 10th verse. It reads, "And she," or Hannah, "was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." I want you to embody it. I told you we're going to deal with some pain today. 1 Samuel 1:10 again. "And she," that's Hannah, "was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." I speak from the title today, Praying with Passion. Praying with Passion. Time frame of this particular portion of scripture, around 1040 B.C. This is a time of Israel that is very turbulent. The priests have been in that leadership / judges of Israel, and soon they will actually have a king. God is striving to pull and to, woo his people to him in a special and an amazing way of showing how much he loves them. But in the midst of this time, it seems like the children of Israel, God's chosen people, are going further away from him. They are constantly going after idols and other gods. And even though God has set up his parameters, the enemy is truly hitting this nation. At this time, God is using so many different people. And one of them that we're going to talk about today is Samuel. But more importantly, his mother and how Samuel gets here. Also, there's the high priest of the time, Eli. Eli has wicked sons, literally. They are doing all kinds of terrible things to the people around the sacrifices. And God is going to bring judgment upon their lives also. As we pick up 1 Samuel chapter 1 in that first verse, we get a transitional period within this book so that we can see literally how God is using different people to bring forth this Samuel prophet who truly loved the Lord. Let's jump into this section. 1 Samuel 1:1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramatham, of Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Aluhu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other name was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." 1 Samuel 1:3, "This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters." 1 Samuel 1:5, "But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb." A lot within those scriptures. Here's our first point of today. You can trust the Lord. Yes, you can trust the Lord. Here we have this family, and at that time they had multiple wives, but the scriptures never really sanctions that. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out with these multiple wives, there's always a wife that rises to the top, that literally becomes that central figure within any of the relationships throughout the Old Testament. Here, that figure, that woman is Hannah. She has a rival, Peninnah, which we're going to find out is causing so much problems and is a foundational point with the pain that Hannah is experiencing. But I want you to know that even in this, there are some things that are pulled out that I want to talk about, that God is in control of birth. Hannah could not conceive. Hannah could not have a child at this point. And this was another point of ridicule that was brought to her by this rival wife. The CEV version in Isaiah 66:9 actually lets us know this affirmatively, what God can do. It says in 66:9, "The Lord is the one who makes birth possible, and he will see that Zion has many more children. The Lord has spoken." We've got some people that are in Ebenezer that have been blessed with miracles of having children, couldn't have children before, but God was able to use science. And some of you, God has just used miraculous things within your life to enable you to have children when the doctors said you couldn't. So we understand that God is truly in charge when it comes to the womb. But realize today that God sometimes delays things. Yes, with Hannah, it had been years and she could not have a child. And because of this, all kinds of pressure was being put on her. And Lord kind of put this thought on my heart. I want to read it to you. Your loss today may turn out to be your victory tomorrow. There ought to be some amens. You can put it in the chat as you're sitting in your living rooms or wherever you may be. Amen to that. That your loss today may turn out to be your victory tomorrow. We can be so short-sighted within our lives. So because God's plan, man, He knows where we're going. He knows what we're going to deal with. He knows how long that we have, and we can trust the Lord. What things are you going through today that God is in the process of turning around? In God's eyes, it's already done, but as we're here on this terra firma, we're behind that scope of things that we can see, but God is already turning it around. There's some insight even within the scriptures here. The name Hannah means grace. Yes, just her name, saying her name, and that Hebrew interpretation comes out the grace, just shows that God has unmerited favor towards her in her life. Even though that she has all of these burdens, God is saying, I've got grace to handle those burdens. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. I'm talking about praying with passion. Look at 1 Samuel 1:6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 7, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Here's another point. Pain. Yes, you can put it in the chat. P-A-I-N. Pain. I don't believe any of us like pain. We know how to go through pain in a sense. Some of you work out in gym, and when you go there in order to go to the next level, oftentimes you experience pain. There are a lot of struggles that happen within your life, but I'm so glad for God is faithful even in using our pain. Paulo Coelho, he actually frames this in a quotation of dealing with our pains. He says, waiting is painful. Forgetting is painful, but not knowing which to do is the worst kind of suffering. Let me read that again for you. Waiting is painful. Forgetting is painful, but not knowing which to do is the worst kind of suffering. This is Hannah here. She's been waiting on the Lord, and that's painful. She doesn't know whether she could just forget of having a child and just kind of just live life and just continue on with the way she is. And so she is in this kind of cloudy zone, not knowing which way to go. And so she's experiencing all this pain at one time. Notice 1 Samuel 1:6, that first part again. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable. Because she could not conceive a child, this rival wife, Peninnah, she would literally would ridicule her and talk about her and pick at her because she was not able to bear a child. In this time, if you could not have a child, you were seen as less human in a sense. You were seen as a person who could not carry out your duties to your husband. This was a sad and tragic time, and Hannah is caught in the midst of that so much that she is miserable. I'm talking about praying with passion. We find out that Peninnah, this rival wife, is just in line with the enemy coming at. Realize John 10:10 says the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy, he truly is. He is the chief of destruction. He is the chief of pain and miserable situations that are brought into our lives. Can God use that? Yes, God can use that because God is control. He's in bigger than all of that. Please, her pain is so unbearable, Hannah, but God is showing grace. Remember her name, grace and mercy, even in this time. Notice 1 Samuel 1:7, and that second part, something is really blossoming here. In that second part, it says, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. The pain is so strong in Hannah's life. She literally stops eating. The pain drives her to fasting. I'm talking about praying with passion. We're going somewhere here. Please understand, whatever you're going through, it is not wasted with God. I'm telling you, all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan and purpose. Remember, the disciples were having a hard time casting out a demon, and they had done all that they could do to get this demon out, and they had prayed. They had tried to figure out how can we get this demon out of this young boy. And then Jesus enters into this scene, Mark 9:28, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Jesus comes and he cast out the demon, and the disciples, they were confused. We were able to cast out other demons. We were able to do other miracles and signs because your anointing was upon us, but why did this one cause us so much pain? Verse 29, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This is Hannah. God is allowing her to be in this situation where she actually gives up food. She goes into a fasting state. We're talking about praying with passion. What is God setting up in your life, in my life, that we have to fast sometimes? We've got to go into this state of a powerful praying with passion simply because of our pain that's within our lives. How is God using your pain? I want you to think about it, to draw you closer to him. There ought to be some shouts or some ouches at this point as we think about the struggles that are in our lives, praying with passion. Look at 1 Samuel 1:8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Here's another point. Only God can satisfy. Yes. Only God can satisfy. Now my hat's off to Elkanah. He's tried to do all that he could do, and he even comes with this outburst. He says, you know what? Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? Haven't I treated you best? I understand that you can't conceive, but I'm not looking down on you. I know you're going through all kinds of trouble, but I love you, and I'm blessing you. But please, that was not enough for Hannah. She wanted a child. She wanted to conceive. She wanted to bless her husband and her community. And so now she's being driven into passionate prayer, praying with passion. Please, in our lives, God is letting us know that only he can satisfy us. Any shouts of praise out there? Only he can really bring peace to our hearts. Let me show you Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It's all about God and connecting with him, just a closer walk with him. Psalms 107 really sums up what Hannah needs at this point in being satisfied with God and being in God's plan. Psalms 107:8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at this, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't that good news? As we are drawn closer to the Lord, whether it be through our pain and circumstances, literally, God satisfies us. I'm telling you, there ought to be some people who in chat satisfy. Yes, he's able to satisfy us. He's able to bring peace to our heart. He's able to make us whole. The world brings so much to us, and it has a thought pattern that it's going to satisfy, but it always turns out empty. But I'm so glad for a God that's more than enough. Any shouts of praise? More than enough in every situation, praying with passion. Look at 1 Samuel 1:10. And she was in bitterness of soul. Here we are. And prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. 1 Samuel 1:11. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Here's another point. Intercessory prayer. Yes, intercessory prayer. Now this is critical at this point. Remember, all this pain and this rival wife and not being able to conceive has really driven her into fasting. And now she's praying and she's reaching out to the Lord with her whole soul, her whole mind and strength. Notice 1 Samuel 1:10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. I'm telling you, she is serious about this prayer. And so often in our lives, we ask things of God and we go into his presence, but we're really not serious. It's kind of a habitual thing. And because we're so blessed, there's very a few times that we really, really come to him with our soul burden and bitterness and crying out to him that we actually weep in prayer. Here is that Hannah is, that she is reaching out with God with everything that's in her heart. And I want to encourage you right now. Some of you got some struggles in some situations that are very painful and you need deliverance. Take it to the Lord. Cry out to him. Lift up your hands. Get on your knees. Whatever you need to do, get into his presence. Please, Jesus prayed prayers like this also in Luke 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Our Savior went through struggles of prayer. I'm talking about praying with passion. James writes in James 5:16, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another. Look at this, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. This is the things that the church is up against, that we don't pray passionately. We don't put our heart in. Oftentimes, even as we go through our days and we pray over our food, it's not really a heartfelt prayer, but there are times in our lives God is trying to get us to the point that we're really focused in on him and we say, God, I need you. This is Hannah within the story. What are you willing to cry out to the Lord for? What are you willing to put your whole heart in that God can move and God can change lives? God can save souls. Never forget Hebrews 4:15. We've got a privilege of God, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This is Hannah's intercessory prayer. She's come boldly to God, crying and weeping before him. And now she makes a serious vow. She says, God, I am so serious about this. I want to make a promise to you. I'm telling you, this is good news here. Hannah says, I want to give you something. I know you're a gracious God, and I know you're a miracle God. But God, if you bless me, I want to do something back to you. I just want to, but you're good, Lord. You've kept me. You've given me a good husband, and I realize that, but I'm in pain because I'm going through all of this. But Ecclesiastes talks about vows and promises. I wanted you to think about some of the promises you've made. Ecclesiastes 5:4. Look at this. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. What things have you promised God? Yes, what things have you brought before him? And now God is saying, hey, you promised this. I remember some things in my life as a young boy and just getting closer to the Lord, being drawn closer to him. And I was in prayer many times, but I remember a time and I promised God some things. I promised God, if you just help me through this, draw me closer to you, I'll give you this. And you know what? I am so glad that I made that promise. But oftentimes when I tend to struggle with some things, those promises come back in, because God is saying, you promised me that. And I realize that the only way we can even keep our promises is by the grace of the Lord. Any shouts of praise out there? The only way that we can even stay connected with the Lord is by his grace and mercy. So God has instituted all these things with Hannah, that even in her pain and her misery, she makes this promise to God, and it's all in line with glorifying the Lord. Let me show you 1 Samuel 1:12 what the Lord is doing. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. I just want to retrace that. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Verse 14. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? put your wine away from you. He's upset about that. He thinks that this lady's come in. She's drunk because her mouth is moving. Nothing is coming out. But Hannah is serious. She's in prayer. She's in passionate praying at this point. He says, put away your wine, 1 Samuel 1:15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Here's the point. Pour out your heart. Yes, pour out your heart. I find it striking, even in that Eli, the priest of the time, he sees this lady, thinks she's drunk, thinks that she has become intoxicated on wine. In essence, she's made her way into the temple area, and he's rebuking her. But what she's saying is, no, I've got a deep connection. I'm in the midst of praying with passion, talking with God. And in essence, my soul is connected. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. I'm drunk on God's spirit. I'm drunk on connecting with him. And that's what God desires for our lives, as we have just a closer walk with him, that we can get in his presence and we can pray according to his will. Notice 1 Samuel 1:13. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. Now this is key. This is critical at this point. Notice it is so deep that her voice is not being pushed out. The intercession is taking place deep down on the inside. We must desire to pray fervently like this. I realize that so often we hear people that pray loud, and that's great, that's grand, and God can use that. But I found out, I'm telling you, when you get real serious, there's sometimes that you can't really verbalize it, but you're connecting and it's happening deep on the inside. I'm telling you that you got to be encouraged that you don't have to pray out loud all the time, but you can have fervent prayer that's deep down on the inside. We need more prayers such as this. We need prayers that really reach the throne room of heaven, that can shake it and say, God, I need you to move in this situation. These are the prayers of the righteous that avail of much, that the scriptures talk about. Jesus spoke of this type of prayer. Let me show you Luke 18 and 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Luke 18 and 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I can see him lifting up his voice, thinking that he's connecting with God, but really he's just connecting with himself. Hey, he's putting it out so everybody can hear it. Extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Luke 18:13, and the tax collector, that this is important, praying with passion, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe that was a deep soul prayer. Maybe you can even hear his voice coming out. His lips were just moving and saying, God, I'm a sinner. And all you could hear and see was his hands beating upon his breast. Luke 18:14, he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Oh, that we pour out our hearts in prayer to the Lord. I'm talking about praying with passion. God wants us to pray to him that things can change, that people can change, that souls can be saved and delivered, that we can be on track for the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 1:17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Verse 18, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I love this part, this point. It says the breakthrough. Yes. She knows that her prayers have been heard. God has allowed the high priest Eli to come in and affirm what's been going on. Intercession has been made. Deep connections have been made. Eli realizes that she's been wrestling with the Lord. Yes, she's been wrestling with the Lord, and says, go in peace, go in peace. I realize that you've had so much stuff that's going on, but I know God is going to work it out. And I speak that into someone's life. You've been wrestling and you've been struggling. You've been praying with passion. God says he's going to work it out. Your victory is on the way. Your breakthrough is here. I'm telling you, you have received what you prayed for. This is what came to Hannah at this point. Remember Jacob, who wrestled with
had a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, a theophany. God himself showed up in Genesis 32:24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Genesis 32:25, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, look at this, I will not let you go until you bless me. This is Hannah. Hannah says, I'm not going to let you go, God. I'm crying out to you. I'm bitter. I need a change in my life, God. I want to produce for you, Lord. I want to give back to that which you're going to give me. Genesis 32:27. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. I'm telling you, God is looking for folks that can wrestle, can reach out to God, and again, receive that all that God has for us. Remember the Gentile woman that received her breakthrough in the New Testament, Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. This is what I'm telling you. I'm praying with passion can change things. She comes to Jesus. And the disciples said, I need you to work a miracle in my life. And she finds herself in a perplexing situation where she's been pushed away. But notice Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. We need folks that can pray with passion and say, God, I know I don't deserve it. I know I probably even shouldn't be here in the world sight, but Lord, I need your help. Are there some folks that can just cry out, Lord, help me? You can put it in the chat. Help me. Matthew 15:26. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from your master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I'm talking about praying with passion. There's some of you need some breakthroughs. You need to go to the Lord and cry out and worship him and say, God, I need your grace and I need your mercy. Praying with passion. Look at this final section. 1 Samuel 1:19. Then they rose early in the morning. I love this part. And worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Isn't that good news? The Lord remembered her. He opens the womb and he shuts the womb, but the Lord remembered her. 1 Samuel 1:20, that intercessory prayer, that praying with passion. He remembered this lady that had been in his very presence. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Final point. Won't he do it? Yes. Won't he do it? Some of you just shouting all around them rooms right now. I know, because you're excited. You're like, yes, God, you have answered so many of my prayers. I'm excited about what you're doing in Hannah, but I just got to take a praise break to just think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me. See, Hannah never forgets where her blessings come from. Yes. She never forgets that praying and passion and connecting with the Lord. She never forgets how good God is. She actually names her son Samuel, and this is derivative in the Hebrew. It means God has heard. Imagine that. She says, I'm having this baby, but I don't want to forget where it came from. I don't want to forget that it was the anointing and touch of the Lord that got me to the point. So I'm going to name the baby that God has heard, so I can be reminded every time I call out Samuel's name, I can say God has heard. And some of you need to have some monuments of praise within your life, that every time you go past it, every time you think about it, you can say God has heard and God has move. I'm talking about praying with passion. God desires us to seek him with our whole mind, soul, and strength. Matthew 6:33 says, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I believe our world can be changed if there become more people that pray with passion. I believe more souls can be saved and families can be healed if we can learn how to pray with passion. I believe that God is up to something even even in this generation where there's so many distressing things that are going on. I remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying with passion. He prayed so much, as we talked about, that sweat as drops of blood actually permeate from his pores. But I'm so glad that he didn't stop right there. He says, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." Betrayed by Judas Iscariot, he's spit on and he's beaten as he goes down the Via Della Rosa. We find him hanging on the cross of Calvary for our sins and our griefs. And now the praying with passion kicks in even more so. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast his lots. I'm talking about praying with passion. There ought to be some praises in the house. There ought to be some shouts to say, "God, I thank you for praying for me, for lifting me up, for forgiveness. I don't deserve it, but aren't you glad for a God that carried our sins and bore our griefs, died on the cross of Calvary? They put him in a cold grave, but I want to let you know, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we can have the privilege of going into his presence." Yes, and now he's seated on the right hand of Father. I'm talking about Jesus, and he's actually interceding for the saint. And now we can lift up our hands at any time and go right into the presence of God, simply because he's given us the privilege to come boldly before him, and we can pray with passion. I encourage you, saints, let's get closer to the Lord. Just a closer walk with him. Thinking about that God has given us this wonderful attribute of being able to even pray with passion. That God can use our pain. He can use our grief to lead us to that point of being serious about prayer. Being serious about him and focusing in on him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. There have been so many times in my life that it's been through pain, through grief, through hurt, that I learned how to pray. I learned how to seek the Lord. I learned how to call on him, not necessarily with it coming out of our mouth, but in my heart. So many people pray with their mouth, but it doesn't come from their heart. God is saying, "I need the heartfelt, fervent prayer of the righteous that avails much." Saints, we're in a season, tumultuous time, even as we introduce this section of scripture with Hannah and Eli and all the family, a very tumultuous time in our city, Greensboro, in Winston-Salem, in High Point. There's so many things that are going on. Saints, it's time that we pray passionately unto the Lord. Ask God to move in an amazing way, not just for situations in our lives. Thank God for that. He's doing so much. Man, but we need to pray for our neighbors, pray for our neighborhood, pray for our city, pray for our state, pray for our country, pray for our leadership, that God be glorified. God is doing amazing things. We've got to get in line with what he's doing and connect with him with our whole heart. Man, if you don't know him today, your first step is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He says, and you will be saved. That is good news. Once you are saved, we have a connection together. We are the body of Christ. And God has left us here for a purpose, that we can cry to him and let the world know that he is still in the saving business. To the saints, I encourage you today to make a promise, make a vow. God, I want more of you. I'm going to give more of my time to you. I'm going to get into your scriptures more, God. I'm going to pray with passion. I'm going to focus. I'm going to push out distractions. God, just a closer walk with you. I promise you to give more. I want to give myself away to you, Lord. Man, I encourage you, connect with the Lord on that special level, because he's doing special things in you. God loves us so much. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the ability to pray with passion. Thank you for using our pain to drive us to that point many times that we can really push back everything and realize where our help comes from. Lord, I lift up the body of Christ, God, that we be able to grow closer to you. Forgive us of our sins that have built up so high, Lord, and so often pushed us away from that throne room, your throne room. But Lord, today I pray that we repent. Lord, deliver us, set us free, that we can get closer to you, God. Whatever you need to do to draw us closer, Lord, we submit to that. Lord, thank you for your immense grace and mercy. Thank you for using us in this season and in this time. Lord, help us to pray passionate prayers to you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know that song. Would rather have houses and land. Oh, some folks choose silver and gold. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, but these things they treasure and forget about their souls. I decided to make Jesus my choice. So you know the coast is rough.